Stacey Harkey. Studio C star Stacey Harkey talks about his religious upbringing, being gay, and his newfound beliefs. This is his story.
Hello?
Hey, Stacey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. I'm excited to be talking to you on this podcast today.
I'm excited to spill all the tea, to give everyone all the drama. I'm just kidding.
Good. That's what this is about. We want to hear it, right?
I loved your like the wait, we didn't talk about that.
Well, I'll be quick on this. So for those that are listening to this podcast, a big part of this podcast is to be able to help people see that, you know, we humans are complex, right? Our views are our nuances. They're all over the place. People stay in the church for various reasons, and people leave for various reasons. And so that's kind of what the highlight of this podcast is about, is people to understand that, you know, life's not black and white. It's colorful and it's beautiful.
I dig.
Yeah. So that's what I want to talk about here today with you. And of course, the tea, the stuff that other people may be ashamed to ask, but I have very little. So
listen, something might happen and I might be like, hey, you should have a little more shame. We're just in that category. I'm just kidding.
Well, I welcome constructive criticism. So.
Okay, great. If I have any, I'll make sure I let you know, but I feel pretty good so far. So you're good.
All right. Well, yeah. So let's get this started. So, it's LDS Confessions. And tell us a little bit about yourself. I know for a lot of people know you from Studio C, but where are you from? And, you know, all those little details.
Yeah. So I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I grew up in an LDS home. I come from an LDS background. My mom converted when she was 18. And it's like, you know, her dad was a pastor of a church and of a different church. And she said she felt like a noticeable difference when the missionaries showed up. And she said it was just like absolute peace and something she hadn't experienced in a while. And so she joined the church when she was 18. My dad fell in love. Yeah, I heard my dad fell in love. And then he converted, and then they had a bunch of babies, me and my three siblings to my two parents, and they were, you know, still in the temple before we were born. We grew up in pretty typical LDS upbringing. It was great. I loved it. I kind of always had this like secret growing up, right, where I just knew that there's something different about me, and I didn't quite always like, you know, I just knew something was different and it was wrong. And so I kind of stifled this secret away. And I was the kid that did everything by the book. I love being involved in my community. I just love my sense of duty and taking care of things. I graduated the top of my class in high school. I got a scholarship, an academic scholarship with a couple others to BYU. Wow. Loved it. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. A year of school, went on an LDS mission to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. So good. Just like love Brazil. I still try to keep my Portuguese up. My mission is like one of my, just such a great series of memories and growth. It was tough. It was beautiful. It was great. Anyways, I come back from my mission and I'm like, it's time for me to start multiplying and replenishing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it's supposed to, I'm my duty. It's important to me.
Wait, I want to pause you there for a sec.
Yeah, pause.
Cause that's great. So, I have so many questions. First of all, like your dad converting, that's cool. While being a pastor.
No. So my dad wasn't a pastor.
Oh.
My mom's dad was a pastor.
Oh.
So she grew up. Yeah. So my dad was not a pastor. He's very involved though. And like, he's very big on community and stuff. So he's always been really involved with like his community and whatever, you know, all that good stuff.
And so you grew up in Texas where there's not a lot of Mormons. And so.
Yeah, there's not a ton. Definitely not like Utah.
Right. And so while you're growing up there, going through school, I know from my experience talking with a lot of Mormons that were raised out of state, they talk about how, sorry, hold on.
You're good.
Yeah, so a lot of those outside Mormons talk about how, you know, they felt, well, they had to, like, lean on the other Mormons there, right? They're very, that's kind of what it was. It was
oh, yeah, it's like, group, you're like, your ward family, the other people in your religion, they become your family truly. And we use the term ward family, but in a place like Texas where a majority of people aren't LDS, you get this thing where, you know, like they become your people. They get your vibe. They get you and like what you're trying to accomplish. But I mean, also most of my family is not LDS, like extended family and stuff. And so we, you know, like we, it's like, so most of my friends were in LDS growing up, especially from school. So it was like, I just had like, you know, I had good friends from church, and then the school I went to had like two other LDS kids. And so it was like, I had like a wide array, a spread of people in my life, if you'll say.
And so I'm assuming being raised in that way, did you go through scouts?
I did, dude. It's actually funny because my parents divorced when I was 10. And my like scouts in the LDS church is like a thing, but like the scouts where I got my eagle was in part of a Baptist church. So after my parents divorced, my dad started attending a Baptist church. He went back. That's kind of the church he grew up in. And his rules were like, you know, just got to be involved with the community. And so I was very involved with the Baptist church and the LDS church. And I got my Eagle Scout through the Baptist church. Like, we were very intense about scouts. It was really cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is neat. And that is,
yeah, I loved it.
Like, with your like thought of, you know, maybe the Baptists are better.
Actually, I remember talking about it growing up, because I would, one week I'd be with my dad and I'd go to Baptist church. And then one week I'd be with my mom and I'd go to LDS church. And I grew up going, you know, it was 10 when my parents divorced. And so like the Baptist church was kind of a new thing in my life. And it was really cool to see that there were absolutely amazing people that going to this Baptist church, like absolutely amazing people that I was like, if I could be like them, I feel like I would have achieved like life's purpose and being a good person and striving to give back, you know?
Yeah. So what made you then decide to even go on a mission? Like what was your testimony? Where did that pressure, was it pressure to go on, or was it just like,
dude, inside? I love the LDS faith. I was like in all in, you know, I did everything. I loved the Baptist church too, but that was like, that felt like, you know, like something different. It was like a cool thing to go and do, but I was like, I was invested. I believed wholeheartedly. I was committed. I had to, if anything, my dad's taking me to the airport, you know, so jump to me being, you know, 18. My dad's taking me to the, or not 18, what is it, 19? What did you do?
People 19 back then, yeah.
I feel like things would be changing. So my dad's like taking me to the airport, right? And dude, don't say back then like I'm like your grandpa or something. I'm about just hold on, constructive criticism. What?
But, so I'm there too. So
my dad's taking me to the airport, and he's like, "Hey, are you sure you want to go? You don't have to go." And I'm like, "Dad, I want this. I've been working really hard for this. I'm really excited about it." And he's like, "Okay." And then he pulls out a box of condoms and he's like, "Hey, just take these with you." And I was like, "Dad, I don't know what you think is happening. I'm going on a mission." He's like, yeah, you'll never know. And I was like, "All right." I was like, "You can hold on to those." I actually had a cell phone my whole mission. I had a cell phone with me. Yeah. I pulled it apart, you know, disconnected it. But I like had one that my dad like forced me to take because, you know, he's a concerned parent.
Yeah. You know what? If those Baptists think that's what a mission's about, maybe I need to join the Baptist church and go on
a mission. It's more so like my dad is like, he always kind of reminded me of like Joseph Smith's dad, where my dad is just like, you know what? There's good everywhere. You can be anywhere and be good. Like, be a good person. You can be in an Asian country where there is no Christianity at all, and you could be an absolutely great person. And so my dad's really big on being a good person. That comes down to how you treat other people, right? It's like, don't hurt people, lift them up. And that includes yourself, right?
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
You know what I wanted to point out about that thought is it's very interesting because, you know, I think I told you I was a convert. And
yeah.
Once I was all in the church, though, for me, if a person had sex outside of marriage, I did not see them as good.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So for just to see that perspective of like, yeah, people can be good even though they're having premarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting how we can define that about people, right?
Like, right. And I think a part of that is projection. Cause think of Christ and his message. Like Christ hung out with the people that most of society was like, they're bad, don't hang out with them. And he was like, what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, think of that perspective. It's so, we project so easily our fears, our insecurities. We think if we mess up, that means we're bad. So then we project that onto other people. We feel like if we, you know, if people see I'm not wearing my garments, they're going to judge me. And so then we look at other people not wearing their garments and we're like, oh, like they probably don't, you know, yada hooda, you know,
yeah.
What I mean? Like we just project so easily. And I think that's one of those things. It's like when people like we all make mistakes or we all have experiences that are different. And it's so counter Christianity at its core to look at a mistake someone makes and to project like what that means about their worth or their quality as a human being, you know?
Yeah, no. And it's interesting that you bring that up because a lot of people, they just don't realize that. Like for example, so I grew up in a small conservative town and, there are people that think that understand that. Right. And, but they still don't want to give that. I mean, there's that scripture, don't show the apparent evil. Right. So they don't want to. So one time I ran into my bishop at Sam's Club on a Sunday, an hour and a half away. He drove an hour and a half away to go buy cereal because he didn't want to be seen.
See, like that's the thing is that's interesting about that is like what did he accomplish? Is he a better person because of that? No, he just hopes people don't think he's bad now. Like it's just like what are we doing it for? Are we doing it for appearances or are we doing it for like, you know, like what it means to be a good person?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's that. Yeah, I'm glad you've helped clarify that and put a little bit more light on that type of thinking. But I did want to ask you though. So did you have a spiritual experience that gave you that firm testimony that made you want to go on the mission, or did you gain one on the mission?
Dude, I had many. I mean, that's like honestly, like I feel like however you want to call it, God, the universe, just like life, I feel like it gives you checkpoints. And I had the most, I remember my freshman year of college, this is before my mission. And I remember just being so lonely in Utah and feeling so isolated. I was like studying for a test in the library basement. And I remember just the overwhelming feeling that I was loved. Like, and not just like, oh, my mom loves me, but it was like that I had value, that I had worth, and that I was loved. And that was like, that experience carried me so far. And I had so many other experiences. I loved like reading the scriptures and I loved learning more about myself and how to be a better support to others. Like those things are very validating and encouraging. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that because I'm going to ask you that same question, but a little bit later on.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's, It's a beautiful thing to experience, but it's just interesting to see that I've noticed a lot of people have experiences similar, but they don't have to correlate with the church.
Oh yeah, for yeah. Sure. Like, yeah, that's having overwhelming positive experiences or almost like spiritual impressions is not relegated to being a member of the LDS faith. That is a huge misconception and kind of dangerous. You know, it's like no one else can feel, you know, God's love or no one else can feel guided, you know?
Yeah,
that's like really, that's kind of weird. Like, how do you think people even like, I don't know. That's just like a weird mentality to me.
Yeah, but it's interesting because that's like across all religions. One thing I've noticed, and I noticed this on my mission, was that if somebody helped you achieve a spiritual experience, whether it was Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or a Baptist or whatever, the moment you experience that, if you're not very like, I guess, if you're kind of ignorant, in the sense that you're like, you're not willing to explore other options. If they come to you and they teach you how to pray and you have this spiritual experience, and then they say, look, because you had this experience, everything I teach you must be the truth. And so many people, I feel like, buy into that, and they'll be like, no, I had a spiritual experience, and so therefore the Baptist church is true, or my non-denominational church that no one's ever even heard of out here in the middle of nowhere, it must be the true church, because I have had experiences that validate
that. Oh, interesting. So that seems like in literature, there are literary fallacies of, like, you know, and it's like the if-then fallacy, where it's like, if this is true, then this is true. The concept where it's like, well, if I'm a good person, then everything I say is true. Or if you felt good hanging out with me, that must mean you're in love. It's like, that's just like such an easy fallacy that people use sometimes, and regardless of, like, you know, religion or whatnot.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah. So it's crazy, because at least for me, I always, for the longest time, I always attributed anything good to be to strengthen my relationship with the church, and be like, well, the church is more true because I felt good, you know.
Oh, well, is that bad?
No. Well, it can be, because sometimes, and this is what I want to talk about with you, is like, sometimes those ideas that a religion teaches can be harmful, right? And bitten full of bigotry. And so, yeah. And so people may continue to hold on to thoughts that are hurtful and harmful while they're under the good impression that it's okay because they've had good feelings that testify that, you know, that certain teachings go about that.
I think that is a good question. And I think two guiding principles, they're actually scriptures that I use, and they like still guide how I live my life. One of them is, by their fruits you shall know them. It's from the Old Testament, right? And it's a scripture that talks about, I don't even know the scripture that, I don't even know what that is. I just say that all the time. I should probably figure out what book and chapter and verse. But the concept is, if a tree is good, it'll bear good fruit. So if you want to know if a tree is good, try its fruit. I think about that all the time. If you want to know if something's good, try it out. We talk about it with, like, LDS faith all the time. You want to know if the book is good, read it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the other one is, the Spirit of God is of power, love, and a sound mind. Like, the God, the beauty in, like, edification is power, love, and a sound mind. And those are not negative emotions. It's not like, oh, the Spirit of God is fear, disgust, shame. Like, no, that's not, those aren't, like, empowering feelings that with the universe or God is gonna empower you with. Like, that's, so, like, that's, for me, those are principles that I use to, navigate my life. And honestly, I mean, and not to, like, jump back in, but when I got back from my mission, as I moved forward and started dating women, it was I dated some amazing women, almost got engaged a couple times, because I was like, I'm gonna have babies, you know, I'm gonna do the thing. And
yeah,
it, like, I just, like, I wasn't into them. And I remember thinking, I was like, dude, I'd pray about it and be like, God, these women deserve to have someone who's, like, wild about them, right? And I am not that person. And so I eventually just, like, with my little secret, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna not date women anymore. And at this point, I joined a sketch comedy group, Divine Comedy, that turned into Studio C, a sketch comedy TV show. And it's starting to grow in popularity, and it's getting popular, and it's doing well. And people like Conan O'Brien are, like, reaching out. They're like, hey, we love your stuff. Like, it's just, like, starting to get spread. Scott Sterling, a sketch we did, is getting big. ESPN is, like, reaching out. We're getting this attention. And I'm at the top of my game in, like, this career. And yet, for some reason, I'm the saddest I've ever been. I'm as committed as ever to church. I throw in everything in it. I was trying to be the best little Mormon I could be. And I was crumbling. And I eventually had to look at myself and admit to myself. I remember it was so hard for me to do. It's like Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, where he pin is red or whatever, or blue, but he can't say it. That's how I felt. I looked in the mirror and I was like, I'm gay.
Yeah.
And I got it out, and it was relieving but terrifying.
So
I know what that meant for me. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so with that, because I was going to ask you about that, you said since you were little, you felt you were different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really necessarily have a word for it, but I knew that I was, like, what I should have been, I wasn't.
So tell us, how did that, how did you know? Did you just find guys, like, other boys attractive, or just found growth icky, or what? How was that feeling?
Pre-puberty, I just knew I was different, but it wasn't a big deal. But definitely as I'm like hitting puberty and I'm finding myself attracted to like boys. And I like, it's kind of interesting as I look back, I knew this was something I could never talk about. I knew this is something I could never turn to anyone for. There were comments made, be it at church or at my home, where I was like, this is not a good thing. Right. So I tried to stifle it. But, you know, I remember having a huge crush on my my health teacher in high school or in like junior high. And I remember just being like, oh, the worst, but I thought he was so cool. And then I remember like, it's just like stuff like that where I was like, you know what? And eventually I came to the conclusion that this was just my cross to bear. Like everybody has weaknesses. And my weakness is that for some reason, how I'm attracted to like people is broken. And I'm like broken in that. And so I was like, okay, let me just, you know, like everyone's weaknesses, we just have to push through it. And I knew, I was like, God is going to fix me because I'm doing everything I can to do what's right. You know,
so
he's going to fix it.
It's like you knew you were gay, but you didn't want to admit that you were gay.
Yeah, or it was like I knew I was gay, but it was like I didn't really call it gay. I thought I was just like, you know, I suffered from same gender attraction, like it was a malady or like a disease or something. I was like, oh, this is just this like this weakness I have. Like some people, you know, have diabetes. Like both struggle and work through these problems we have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. What about like on your mission? Wasn't it hard? Did you ever get like a hot companion that you're just like, wow?
Dude, my companions were goobers, man. I hope one's listening. That's the thing too, is like the mission was actually pretty chill because like for the first time in my life, everyone's in the same boat. Like no one is dating anyone. We're just all focused on the work. And so I was like, dude, I've been doing this my whole life. Piece of cake. And like people, guys would be like, dude, I just want to kiss a girl. And I'd be like, you're weak. You're weak. I would see guys sometimes double. I remember they would like do double takes, like they'd watch a girl and then go back. And I'd be like, you're weak. I'd be like, man, I was like, man, you got nothing on me. You want to talk about controlling your feelings? Like try to keep up with people that are like gay and LDS, man. Like you wish.
Yeah. You're like, that's not even a temptation to me, brother. So you need to step up your game.
Boys be struggling out there.
So you're bearing with this. I mean, you talked about how you were depressed. You know, you're getting all this attention. Were you like, at what point did it get to the point where you're becoming depressed? Because I'm assuming, you know, like there, you had a lot of happy times, but but at what point did the self-reflection begin in which you began to have this within you?
I've always had this platform on authenticity, like having the tough conversations, being real about who you are. And I would be like, you know, at certain points I was like Elders Quorum president or teaching Elders Quorum lessons. And I would be like, hey, y'all, we have to be authentic and real. And then I would have moments where I was like, well, what does that mean for me and my, you know, my, this like thing, this secret I have. And I started having this conundrum where I was like, okay, I know authenticity is good, but like what? I also know that this isn't okay, or I'm going to be like judged for just being myself, right? For something I didn't choose. And in the midst of this, right, like I said, StuVC is growing, and I'd have people pull me aside. Parents would be like, I want my kids to be just like you. I want my son to be just like you. I want my daughter to marry a man like you. And it started making me feel like, man, I was definitely not authentic. Like I would preach this. I would talk about how important it was. I'd watch Brené Brown and be like, yeah, like let's be authentic. And then I would be like hiding a huge part of myself, you know?
Yeah. So it was like hearing all those things and kind of feeling like you were fake.
Right. Feeling like, am I really being fully authentic? And I never told people like, oh man, I am so attracted to women. I wouldn't say that. And I would speak from real experiences, you know. I'd be the one in Sunday school talking about, or in Elder Scrum talking about, hey, let's talk about porn. Let's talk about masturbating. Like, let's talk about these real aspects of life that are so uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about it, but everyone does it. You know what I mean? Or everyone has some encounter with it. I was like, let's talk.
Okay. So yeah, that makes sense.
So like, I'm no newbie to like uncomfortable topics of conversation. Except when it came to my sexuality, I would rather have died.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate. Like, how old were you at this point then when you were?
Dude, I'm like a full-on adult at this point. I graduated from BYU. I graduated in 2014. This is probably around 2016 and 17 when I'm really starting to have this like internal like struggle where I am like, what does it mean to be authentic? You know, what does it mean to be me, which I'm a huge advocate for, but for some reason had like overlooked this part of myself.
And so in that sense too, I got to ask because, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit before, but within religion, especially the LDS religion or some of the teachings, right? I wouldn't say LDS members go out and hate gays, but we definitely tend to hold a lot of homophobic type of ideas. So were you that kind of person that was, you know, if you saw a gay couple or something, were you kind of like, ugh, that's not okay?
Like I'd be uncomfortable, but I was pretty, and I think part of that's my upbringing. I was never someone to see someone do something that I didn't agree with and be like, ew, unless they were like, you know, doing like something gross, like pooping in public or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I people have different lives. I have family members who are beautiful, rich people who live different lives than me. And I'm like, that was never like an ew factor. And I will say that, like, actually, I think a piece of me, I would see people like, so for example, I had a really good friend who started, he like thought he was being and started like dating a guy and he thought he was like being hit and he's like, oh, it's our good friend. But I remember just being so happy for him. I was like, hey, I hope you get to live for both of us. Like I remember just like, it wasn't even like a jealousy. I was just like happy for him. In the meantime, I'm like crumbling because I'm going to die alone and I'll never experience what it's like to be with someone who you're attracted to and interested in. You know what I mean? But I was just happy for him. And I think that was probably like, not to be happy for him was sad, but it was like really sad to see me being like, this is the closest I get to happiness, then so be it, you know?
Wow. I mean, that just goes to show how beautiful of a person you are, but also your firm commitment to Christ.
Oh, dude, I was trying to be a good person. I was trying to do what I thought God wanted me to do. And like, honestly, it came to a point where I felt like I was like, I can't go on anymore. I would like, it used to be when I was struggling, I would drive up to a certain point of the mountain. I'd play like some song and I would just be like, beg God to like help me. And I thought he was going to like, I thought honestly, the mission was going to fix me. And when I got back, it didn't. I was still just as gay as ever. But eventually I found myself driving up to the mountainside like multiple times a week. I'd be going up there like four times a week, just like trying to keep it together, man. Just trying to be like just one foot in front of the other, Stace. And I'm a stubborn person. Like I'm hardheaded. Like I was like, we're going to do what it takes. And then I found myself at home and I was like, I just can't go on like this. Like I felt like I was going to implode. I felt like the very essence of me was going to cease to exist. Like I felt like I was in such a dark place, which is ironic because I had never been more committed to the LDS faith. And I was like, something is not right. This is not what we talk about when we say Adam fell that men might be and men are that they might have joy. Life was not meant to be a painful struggle. Like we're supposed to be content and happy. And you know what I mean? We're supposed to be like, joyfully navigating this like hellscape that is life and not like navigating this hellscape in the lowest place we've ever been. And so I found myself being like, God, I don't know, but I need some help, man. And I realized it kind of hit me as I was thinking about this, that I'd never ever prayed. I always prayed and asked God, this is kind of weird, but two things I would pray for growing up. Mm-hmm. I'd always pray that God would give me powers like an X-Man and then that God would fix me from being gay. I was like, you know what? If you wanted to give me one of those, I get it. But like, let's just see it. If you can make magic, give me powers and make me straight. And now that I think back on it, they were probably on similar platforms as far as how like credible, like possible they were. But I found myself realizing that I'd never prayed and asked God if like, hey, this God who I trust, and who I love and who has been there for me in so much, who's given me strength when I had low moments in other ways. I'd never asked God if he was cool with who I was. I just always asked him to change me. I was like, fix me, fix me. I never was like, hey, so this person you made, is he cool? Like, what's going on? And so I decided for the first time at one of my lowest moments, I was like, God, are you okay with me? Am I the problem I've always been? And I remember praying about it. And I was like, you tell me if I really feel like I need to be, try to live a straight life or live a nice celibate life, that I will not ask this question again, and I will be sad, but I will be committed. And then I remember being like, but if you want me to pursue a relationship and happiness, I'll get rid of all of it. I'll leave it all behind and I'll go do my thing. And I, dude, Jay, like, yeah, it was the most overwhelming, like, beautiful feeling I've ever felt in my life of, like, it was this feeling that carried with it information. And the information was, I am a perfect being who does not make mistakes, and I made you. And I was like, oh, dang. It was like, I felt like for the first time in my life, who I was as a whole person, not just elements of me, not just me doing what, you know, what I thought someone wanted, but who I was a whole complete person and was not a mistake. It was intentional. And I also felt at the same time that, like, these things that I've learned, this beautiful information that had guided my life and that I, you know, kind of pulled from, like, religion, was a huge part of who I was and a beautiful thing too. And so I kind of got this feeling that, like, I, as a gay man, am completely, like, I am meant to exist as I am. I'm meant to, like, we are meant to edify ourselves, right? To take the good we have and to make it bigger and better. And that's how we glorify a perfect being. And so for me, the being queer, being gay is a good part of who I am. And I need to magnify that, you know, to glorify Creator on high. That was, like, my takeaway. And, like, I could do it with the information I've learned, with the things I've developed, you know, from religion, which I thought was, it was kind of mind blowing for me. I, like, really wasn't expecting to have that kind of experience.
Wow. Wow. You know, I told you before, I've had guests cry on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the one that's, like, emotional hearing that.
Oh, dude, you should have. I was a wreck. I was so confused because I was like, well, what does that mean moving forward? But, like, it was so relieving. It was like this weight had been, like, taken off my back, and just, like, this thing, this literal cross I'd been carrying my whole freaking life, like, I finally could just drop it. And it's wild to believe that, like, no one gave me that burden. That was, like, a burden that, like, I had through inferring about my religion and my family and my friends had taken on myself. This is what I had, like, this was me projecting onto myself, you know what I mean? Like, all these fears and concerns and beliefs that I needed to revisit, apparently.
Wow. And so, sorry, sometimes it's hard for me to ask questions just because I'm still trying to, like, soak in the
feelings that
I get, you know, where it's like,
I kind of talk a lot too. So my bad.
No, you're good. You're good. It's just, because and I hope this message just gets out there, because I think we like to put God within a box, right?
Oh,
we like to take these, like, we like to take these things that we've heard or we've been taught, and again, like some of the bigotry and try to amplify it rather than asking the questions, well, what is pure Christianity? What is the gospel really about? Or what about these men? Why did they teach these things? Who influenced them? Where did they come from?
Right.
And but, like, the scripture says, it says in Isaiah, right, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, it, for me to hear that testimony of yours, it just goes to show that God is an infinite loving being, and you know, maybe we're just not, maybe we just don't have it all the way right. But I do think some institutions, having an institution is probably better than no institution.
Yeah, I think it honestly just depends on what works for you. Like, what allows you and enables you to be a good person? What edifies you? What leaves you feeling closer to joy? What it leaves you feeling empowered, you know, of power, love, and a sound mind, and not, like, shamed or not minimized or not like a bad person, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so how did you after you have this experience, how did you end up did you immediately walk away from the church, or how did that go about, like, the process?
So,
well, first of all, I haven't even asked. Are you, like, where are you in relation to the church?
Yeah, I mean, so I think those questions kind of go hand in hand, because at that point, I was like, whoa. But I decided I was done hiding. I wasn't going to hide anymore. Because my whole mindset is, if God's got my back, if God is like, no, you're good how I made you, who's going to stand in my way? No man, no matter what he does, man, woman, no one's going to stand in my way. So I went and spoke with my bishop, and I was like, so at first I started coming out to some friends, and they were just great and supportive. And then I came out to family, and then I decided I was going to come out publicly, which was terrifying, because I was like, I'm going to lose my job and I'm going to lose everything I've worked to build. But I went out and I spoke with the bishop, and I was like, hey, heads up, bishop, I've had a beautiful experience. I feel like it's time for me to finally, you know, like, it's, I feel ready to embrace myself. I'm gay. And my bishop was shook. If he was like, but he's like, he literally looked at me and was like, but you're such a good person. And I was like, and I was like, that's where, yeah, that's where you believed wrong. No, I didn't say that, but I actually thought it was really good for him to have an experience of someone.
Yeah.
Who was like, he, like, I had like three callings in that ward. I was very dedicated, and I wanted to stay involved and dedicated. But I told him too, that I was like, bishop, like, I expect you to do what you feel is right. And so if you feel like it is like you're in your moral code to like try to excommunicate me or to take my callings away from me, like, you do what you feel is best, and I will not fault you for trying to be a good person. But I am going to do the same thing for me. I'm going to do my best to be a good person. And I hope you can't fault me for that. But honestly, if you do, that's between you and the Lord. That's not my business. And so I started coming out publicly, and a lot of that meant revisiting beliefs I had that I had held to, like, I held it so close to my heart, and never wondered, you know, well, you know, like, I, like, my sexuality, I was like, hey, it's bad to be gay. And then all of a sudden I had this beautiful experience that was like, actually, that's a part of your life, and it's a beautiful part. And so I took it upon me to start revisiting a lot of my beliefs, and like, okay, well, why do I feel this? Like, are these good fruits? Are these trees good? By their fruits you shall know them. Try the fruit out. And that included going on dates with men and getting to know men in like a way that I'd never had to, a romantic sense. And let me tell you, Jay, I was blown away at how beautiful, how wonderful those experiences were. Just going on a date and making eye contact with a guy, I was like, this is amazing. Holding hands, I was blown away at like the feelings that I was experiencing that I had never felt in my life. Oh my gosh, my first kiss with a guy, I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden I was like, this is why all the straight guys on the mission are doing double takes. This is why people would get up in church and testimony meeting and talk about how amazing their loved ones were, their spouse was. I was like, I'm starting to experience something that I had never experienced. And at a certain point, Jay, because I committed to living the life that I truly felt was good. And at a certain point, I kind of looked around at where the church was, and I realized that we had kind of just grown apart. We had gone separate ways. Mm. What I felt it meant to be like, to live a good life and be a good person for me, had taken me in a very different place than where the church was. And I didn't look at that like, oh man, what a terrible, bad church. I looked at it as like, you know what? Like, life is full of experiences and journeys. And sometimes you have a best friend and then you grow apart and you can still think fondly of that person. And that's kind of my relationship with the church now, is like, what a great institution that enabled me to learn Portuguese, that I went to school at a church institution, and I love BYU. I still like BYU so much. And I wish the best for this institution, so much for this institution, that religion. And it's honestly not for me.
Yeah.
It just doesn't align.
Well, so I want to add a joke in real quick. So the phrase "men ain't shit" is not true, right? Men are the shit, according to you.
I'm like unfamiliar with this phrase.
Oh, okay. I just see that a lot on the internet. But anyways, so in regards to religion, I feel like a lot of people, when they leave, they're very bitter about it. You know, they say, you know, because I left the religion, it suppressed a lot of who I was. sexually, and I hated myself for so long. And I mean, and it seems like you kind of had that kind of struggle for a while. How come you don't hold bitterness towards the church, and how can you help? Like, what advice would you give to those that do hold bitterness once they leave towards the church?
I've wondered that so much, man. And I think there's a couple theories I have, and I don't know if they're, you know, this is just being in ex-Mormon spaces, being in nuanced Mormon spaces, being in LDS spaces. I've kind of like, okay, this is kind of my theory on things. I think part of it is, for example, and first off, I do want to say, people that have feel like they've been hurt by the church and have strong feelings related to how they feel about the church, valid. Your feelings are valid. And if anyone tries to take that away from you, then like they're wrong. I don't know. Your feelings are valid. And if you feel like you love the church and it's done great things for you and you can cleave onto it, feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that, because your feelings are valid, doesn't detract from someone's experience on either account, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I feel like growing up in a mixed faith home was so integral to my relationship with religion and with God. So I think of it like a lot of people, especially that grow up LDS, they get this plate that's handed to them, and it's an LDS official issued plate. And on this plate, they heap different types of beliefs. They go to the potluck round, and that includes what do families mean? And, you know, they heap that, like, put that dish on, and they heap on this slab of what is it? What is chastity? And what is, you know? And so all of their, like, religion is built on this LDS issued plate, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, the way I was taught about God and what it meant to have a connection with the divine was not from necessarily an LDS background. Like, my parents both came from not LDS religions. One of my grandmas is Jehovah's Witness. My other one's Presbyterian. I went to a Baptist church growing up. It's just like I had this plate was issued as, oh, God is bigger than any and all of us. And a lot of my beliefs heaped on that plate were LDS beliefs, like beliefs I got from the LDS faith. And when I started questioning, like, okay, this isn't working for me, it was easy for me to just remove things from that plate. Like, it was like going to a potluck and being like, oh, I actually don't like this food. Where with people I believe that have like an LDS issue plate, it's like the whole plate shatters. Mm. Like their whole foundation of who is God or what is like religion just like shatters. And it's like a very traumatic experience. Where for me, I feel like I was able to like scoop things off the plate, but I still believe in God. I still have this issue plate, and that belief in God is not through like necessarily an LDS lens. Like, yeah. I did at a certain point believe that God was like, I kind of envision God as like this old wizard dude with a big white beard in the clouds who was like watching, you know, he's like watching me walk, and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, stay on the trail. I paid, stay on the trail. And, you know, I get back on the trail and he's like, hey, way to go. You're doing your best. But now the way I view God from just like since coming out, it's changed a lot. The way I view God is like this loving entity who wants us to grow. And instead of watching me try to navigate this path that it's paved for me, I feel like it's this presence is with me as I navigate my own path, as I learn lessons from the ups and downs that I encounter as I'm navigating my own life, as I'm taking like my agency into my hands and like making decisions for myself, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Have you had spiritual experiences since you've, I guess, separated yourself from the church?
Yeah, dude. Freaking, I remember I was at the gay club the other day.
Yeah.
And I remember, yeah, check it out. I love it. Someone bear your testimony about this on church on Sunday. Right. I was at the gay club the other day and I looked around and it was just a horde of people that different shapes, different sizes, different ages, from all walks of life. You could tell some dude was filthy rich, another dude was like, you know, scraping by. And we were all singing like the same song and just existing as ourselves. There was no attempt to become someone else. And I remember I had to stop and just like catch my breath. I got goosebumps. I was like, this is beautiful. I was like, this is what it means to like when we think of Zion, where it's like everyone can come as they are, bring what makes them unique to the table. I was like, this is beautiful. I had that experience like that going on, like one of my first dates with a man. And the feeling in my heart of like, this is what like romantic connection is. That feels divine. That feels bigger than humans. I was like, this is beautiful. Like, those are some spiritual experiences I've had, you know, that people in certain spaces would tell me, oh, that's Satan. You know what I mean? Or like, they'd be like, that's bad, or that's not right. And I'm like, listen, it's like my relationship. And that's another thing too, is like my confidence and where I'm going isn't built on what someone told me. It isn't because I read a book and it was like, oh, you're going to be happy if you do this. It's by me navigating my life and feeling this way. And so if someone comes up to me and they're like, you're going about it wrong, I'm like, that sounds like a personal problem. You handle that. But like, as for me in my life, I'm going to do what feels right.
So I've got to ask this because, you know, you shared your experience about how you felt God, you know, it was like, he makes no mistakes. And it was, for you, it was a spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not fit within the box of religion, of Christian religion anyways.
At least a lot of them. There are some queer affirming religions out there, which I've been really impressed and surprised by.
So that doesn't fit within that experience. And so it's funny, there's a song I've listened to that I love where it says, I mean, so this guy says, you know, he used to be a strong believer in Jesus and now he's not. And he says, before I used to take the empty feeling, use it against you to try to convert you.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I feel like for me personally, that's kind of where I feel religion uses a lot of feelings. But when I told you about how when I had premarital sex, it was amazing. It felt it was divine, right? Like, it was because of pleasure. Like, I was truly in love with the girl.
And I want to see your bishop's reaction when you said that to him.
Dude, he was shocked. He was just like, what? And he tried to tell me that it was Satan, right? That he was.
I'd be like, bro, do you like it when you have sex with your wife? And if not, that's a problem. But like,
he probably doesn't. It's probably just for procreation. You know, he's a two pump chump. <I don't know. laughs> poor wife probably never had an orgasm.
Not a two pump chump.
But here's what I gotta ask you, okay? You're sharing that with you. When you've been with men, I'm assuming you've slept with men.
First off, a huge assumption, and you'd be correct. Yeah. you call me old, and not yet.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm just saying. I just assume you got game. Okay. You got game.
Oh man, I hope people agree with you.
Well, I think I told you this, right? If there's any proof at all that God might be a misogynist, it's the fact that he makes gay men attractive and unattainable to women.
So. Dude, it's crazy. If you compare a picture of me before I came out versus afterwards, it's like, oh my gosh, like dang, like glow up.
Yeah.
I don't even know what dude.
Maybe we'll do that as a thumbnail for this podcast.
you should, before and after.
Yeah.
And be like, the gay agenda. That's what you should call it.
but I gotta ask though, so when you've hooked up with a man, has it been like a spiritual experience? Or was it just a pleasurable experience? Because I want to find two.
I think this is like a really interesting question. And I have a lot of strong feelings on maybe like, what do you even define as intimacy? Mm. I think sometimes we look at intimacy and we're like, you know, and maybe this comes from like a very religious view where they're like, there's a hard line between what is sex and what is not. And intimacy, and it kind of falls in this intimacy box. That's not so much a concern for me now. And I feel like there are times when like, I haven't had sex with someone, but I've been very intimate with them. And it feels like incredibly vulnerable, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's so, I'm like, I'm going to just say right now, like, you can define sex how you want, but I think it's a limiting definition to be like, it's putting something in a hole. I think there's a lot of different ways to be intimate.
Right.
And I will say, in committed relationships, and I think, you know, like, whatever, teach his own, like, do your thing, don't hurt people. But like, in committed relationships, intimacy is a beautiful glue that bonds. It is a way to be vulnerable, and it is a way to connect, and it is a way to grow closer. And I never would have understood that. Like, even if I would have married a woman, I never would have understood that. And I think about that and how sad it could be that I would have like missed out on this beautiful element of what makes us human. Like, our sex drive is a beautiful part of who we are. And I think that's actually something that like you could agree on no matter what you believe. It's like, if you're like the staunchest, most committed of LDS members, you believe that like intimacy, sex is beautiful. That's how we procreate. That's how we like, that's what makes us like God. And if you are not, you could see the beauty, you know, like, you could just see the beauty in intimacy. And that's something I never would have experienced had I not given myself the opportunity to be intimate with men, you know?
Yeah.
I should say with a man, because that makes it sound like, you know, I'm having a party or something.
Yeah. Sounds like you're hoeing around right now.
Right. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And dude, honestly,
I didn't get it. I didn't get it earlier. I dated women, almost engaged. I remember making out with a girl and it started getting a little like maybe we like would end up lying down. It got horizontal. It was getting hot and heavy, and all of a sudden I could just be like,
yeah,
I could like blow my whistle and be like, and time out. We're good. And I was like, people would be like, oh, the powers of procreation take over and you can't. And I'd be like, what do you mean you can't stop? You just stop.
Yeah,
dude,
stop.
When I started dating men, I was like, oh, I get it.
I get it.
I get it. This like, yeah, this like force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, that's interesting though, that you bring up that difference, because there's a lot of couples that date and they don't even have that, you know? Like, even...
like intimacy?
Yeah, they don't have intimacy. Like, they'll date somebody because they don't want to be alone. Right? They'll date them
we don't want
for whatever
that.
Reason. Yeah, and it's... like, for me, right, like I told you, when I had sex with someone I loved, it was a beautiful connection. But when I slept with somebody I barely knew, it was like, ugh, this is gross. This is icky. But it's sad to see so many, you know, on my page, I have a lot of people that have told me years into their marriage, they still don't feel comfortable having sex because they were taught for so long that it was not okay.
Oh, what a disservice to humans, you know? And it's like, I think it's like, depending on your belief will definitely shape how you view intimacy or even just like within what realms you experience it. But yeah, that is like so sad because it's such a beautiful part of life. And I think part of it is like you are so vulnerable with someone. Like to experience a naked body, like to be naked in front of people, like it's hard to get much more exposed than that. It's uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people find it uncomfortable, but it's like the idea of being able to be that vulnerable with someone and to trust them is like beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. So what, I mean, you've answered a lot of the questions that I sent you out in the guideline, in the outline.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, for you, it's, I wanted to ask, do you think it's possible for a gay person to be truly fulfilled? But based off what you've told me, it seems like you can't really be fully fulfilled if you're holding back the one thing that's like very interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I think, and this is like one of my biggest things in my life is like, as I've been living this life and learning more about me, what I'm not doing is like, I'm not learning, like I'm not writing a Bible. I'm not writing a book on scripture on how everyone can live their life.
Yeah.
I think the key to what I've experienced is that you have the right and the responsibility to search out what is good for you. I feel like that's the beauty of agency, is that you have the power and the right to find the ways to have the best life. And for people like, for my mom, that is going to church every Sunday. That is paying her tithes, attending the temple. And that is so beautiful. And I cannot support that more, right?
Yeah.
That's what works for her. For me, that's not the case. That is not the case. And I think we talked about this a little bit. But I feel like life, God gives us tools, lots of tools. Like, you know, the universe gives us tools to be happy. And I feel like the LDS faith is a tool. And if you, like, that's like saying if you're building a house and you don't need the saw, like, don't use the saw. Like, if the tool isn't helping you be, you know, achieve a happier life or a happier situation, don't use it. Don't use the tool. And I think people should feel comfortable not using the tool or using the tool how they prefer, whatever that might be. You know what I mean? If it's like, you know, volunteering in your community, if it's reading self-help books, if that works for you, great. If it doesn't, don't do it. And so, like, as I'm, like, growing older, I'm, like, live the life that enables you to be a good person. Now, if you're, like, this tool is helping me be a good person and you're just, like, hurting people, then we got a problem. And I'm not going to stay silent if I watch someone, you know, especially someone I care about, hurt someone, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I like that thought, because then that answered the other question where I was going to ask, like, what advice would you give to somebody who's conflicted, you know, but.
Yo, take your life into your own hands. And that doesn't mean throw everything you've ever learned to the wind and like flip it on its head. I'm just saying, you like, listen, so many of the parameters I lived within were established by other people. Like someone was like, oh, this is a fence you should have here. So I put a fence there. But what I never did was I never like analyzed why that fence was there and why that was important for me. And as I came out and started exploring what it meant to be gay, I was testing boundaries that I established. And some of these boundaries, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a really important fence I should keep here. And other times there was a boundary that I was like, this makes no sense. This should be changed. And I think it's just empowering to take life into your own hands, because why? Like you are going to be the only one living your life. You are going to be the one that faces the consequences for the decisions you make. So my bishop, the bishop I came out to, he was like, hey, go in the closet, marry a woman. And I was like, bishop. And I look back and I'm like, bishop, listen, you are not going to be the one who is a gay man married to a woman. I am. So you, me doing what you tell me to do, I'm going to be the one facing the consequences. So I have the right and the responsibility to make the decision that works best for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's like
you
love that.
Are going to face the consequences of your actions. And if you only do something because someone else tells you to, like, they're not going to face those consequences. But if someone tells you to do something and you like feel good about it and study it out or whatever, you try it out and the fruit's good, do it, you know? And if not, don't do it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, it seems like when I talk to you, you're happy, you're optimistic. So kind of goes counterintuitive to the thought that you should be miserable right now, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. If people are like, there's sometimes people that like project their little insecurities onto me. They'll be like, you're nasty or you're being a bad person. And I'm like, listen, Karen, Edna, whatever her name is. I'm like
Karen Johnson.
Yeah, I'm like that's I'm like, yeah, you try not to keep your opinion or whatever, but that's between you and the Lord. Like, take it up with my boss. You know, if you have a problem with it, pray about it. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and like part of that is like my confidence in the way I'm navigating my life is not fragile. So if someone comes up to me and says, you're wrong, I'm gonna be like, okay, and like, nice to meet you too. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I do my thing, and I you know, and I will pivot if I feel like if I'm experiencing something that's like that's showing me that like what I'm doing is not right, that I'm not moving about in like a right good way, then I will adjust. Right? You owe it to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I dig that, and I definitely think that's a mature outlook on life, one word in which you've open yourself up and test things out.
Yeah, it's working for me now.
Yeah. So there's two questions left. One I just want to ask, because I'm sure people listening there's going to be a handful of, or quite a bit of ex-Mormons listening, you know, that like to ask these types of questions. But you know how like the church is the priesthood ban, like from 1978 or whatever, did any of that affect you? Through church,
dude, it did. I remember in high school, I was arguing with this kid who was like in the ward, and he was like, he started getting a little like, you know, when you start losing an argument, you start coming after the person instead of sticking to the topic. He was like, you're just mad because black people couldn't hold the priesthood, and everyone got quiet. And I was like, that was the first time I'd ever heard that was a thing. I was like, what?
Wow, what a bitch.
And then I did some because you know, I'm in Sunday school. They're not talking about that when I'm in Sunday school. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, yeah. They're like, oh, we have one black family, ex-nay on all the chit chat.
Yeah.
I like asked my mom and she had heard about it. And I was like, what? And I remember looking into it as a high schooler with like, that was before like Google was huge, which does make me sound old. Wow. But yeah, I was like reading books and stuff, like old school research.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, you know what? There's so many questions I have and I don't know. But I think this is something I'm going to sit on. I was really happy where I was religion-wise. Like I was like, I had structure. I was excited to, work towards my mission. Right. And I didn't really worry about it. And I get sometimes kind of concerned when, in some of the ex-Mormon spaces, people will be like, how can you possibly believe this thing? It's like, girl, you did. Like, calm down. Like, you know what I mean? It's like you did. And then when you didn't, you didn't. So like, give people space to live their journey. Like, I think some people, and I say this with a grain of salt and hopefully love in my heart, but some people go from like zealous Mormon, like I should be doing missionary work all the time, that's your thing. And then they'd swing on the pendulum and they become zealous ex-Mormon. I should be doing anti-missionary work. Like I should be pulling people away. And it's like, I just feel like have your opinion and share your opinion. I'm not condemning that. And if you feel like hurt's being done, you speak up against that. That's noble, right? But also let's respect where people are and give them space to like live how they want to live. And that goes for if you are ex-Mormon and you want people to change, give people space. That means if you are super Mormon and you want people to change, give them space. My goodness, just like let people do their thing. You know what?
I
Let
love
people
that.
do their thing. You don't need to corner nobody and be like, hey, you're going to hell if you're gay, which has happened to me. Don't do that. That's weird. You don't need to corner your loved one and be like, hey, this is why the plates are fake and Joseph Smith made it. Like, don't, that's weird. Don't do that, Like, respect, just like respect people where they are. You know what I mean? But I'll be the first to tell you, like, I've spoken at different rallies. I've spoken at like an LGBTQ rally at BYU. When I see people being hurt, that's different. That's my life motto. Do your thing, as long as it don't hurt nobody. And if it hurts somebody, then do your, then like jump it where you need to. I don't know. I have passed.
Yeah, no, and I like that. I agree with a lot of things that you said because that's how I feeling right now currently. It's like, well, I don't really want to trash on anything, but I can see how some things are very hurtful. Some things, even within myself, by the community I was raised in, the beliefs that I
Oh.
have are hurtful, still. And I try to like analyze and recognize it, but I'm like, holy crap, dude! Like, why do I think like this sometimes?
My motto is the world is full. I have like a bunch of mottos, I think. One of them is the world is full of good men trying their best with what they have. And sometimes they don't have a lot. And I think about like the bishop who was like, hey, you need to go into the closet and marry a woman. That man didn't have a lot. Is he a bad man? No, he was trying his best with what he had. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt people. I think about my mom, who when I came out to her was like, hey, like you're more than welcome. I love you, but just don't bring that gay stuff in my house. Is she a bad person? No, she's one of the best people I know, right? She was doing the best with what she had, and in that situation, she didn't have much. You know what I mean?
Has she opened up? Are you, do you just have a close relationship?
Oh, dude, we have had conversations. I'm very straightforward and upfront. My family's kind of like that. She went from don't bring that stuff in my house to like I'm making the bouquet at the wedding. I cannot wait. Like your partner is my son, you kind of thing. So she's my parents have come a long way. They're beautifully supportive.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know what? This is I'm gonna share this with this episode with everyone I know because the message that you're portraying it's a positive one. It's like this doesn't vibe with me, but you do you. So because to me it seems like from what we've talked about so far, yours isn't. Your belief system isn't like, man, Joseph Smith was a fraudster. He used to search for treasure, some coins. Yours is just like, yeah, it just doesn't align with how I want to live.
Yeah, that's kind of, and honestly, it's not so much about, like, it's less about what are the nuanced beliefs I have about the church and more so like people just have a right to live the life they want to live that's going to help them be good. Like, the church legit saved my family's life. Like, it saved my family's life. Like, my mom came from an incredibly abusive home, and the church, like, gave her stability and gave her ground in a way that, like, enabled me and my siblings to grow up the way we did. You know what I mean? And like, so I can like look at that and be like, that is such a beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful for that. But I can also look at the side too and say, like, I had a lot of experiences where people treated me poorly for being black in church, or people like ostracized me for being gay. Or even it's like, I experienced a lot of that at the hands of like doctrine and teachings. and church at its very core. And so I think it's okay for me to look at this and be like, what a beautiful thing this has been in my life. Also, it's also been a really tough thing in my life too. And to like not say, that means I have to make, is the church good or bad? No, I could just say like, it's not for me. Like if it's for you, good. If it helps you be a good person, good. Not for me.
I love that. I love that. Which leads me to my next question then.
Yeah.
What's next for Stacy? What's the angle? You're gonna get married? You're just gonna have all these side hoes on the side?
I'm gonna be gay for another couple of years, then join the church again and be like, it was fun. I'm tired. I'm just kidding. No, but it's just the American dream. I think it's what most people want. Like I'm excited to get married and to have a family. And I mean, unfortunately, I didn't come out until I was 30. And so I'm a little behind on people. And you know what? It doesn't really feel like it. I think the only thing that's going to be limiting me is just like being old, but it's not like I'm going to marry someone who has like a uterus anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, chances are the person I marry is not going to, you know, so it's like, you know what? And I just feel like the universe provides, like if things will work out. If it's meant for me to have, I always wondered growing up, I was like, I love the idea of adopting because there's so many kids out there who don't have homes. So many kids who don't have homes and that stability. But I was like, oh, I always want my own kids. And then when I started coming out and like realizing like that I was gay, I was like, oh, I kind of feel like I'm excited to adopt. I'm excited to be a foster parent to like all these kids that don't have homes, to give them some stability. Like, you know, I don't know. There's just like stuff like that, dreams I have, you know, like I'm excited to, you know, to do the thing.
Yeah, I love that, and I hope you find that.
Same, but if I don't find it, I'll be Gucci.
Yeah, you'll still have a, you know, we all got that plan B, plan C person we can always get, right?
That guy that's like, hey, listen, dude, I'm, you know, let's just start a family.
come over, right? You just spell the word a little bit differently.
Oh, you're killing me.
So, I was gonna ask that. So, do you still pray? Do you still have that changed too?
Spirituality for me has kind of changed what it means to be religious. I do still have like a relationship with the divine, right? Yeah. And I say it again, like I think that has changed for me. It's like I don't imagine this old guy in the sky with a beard anymore.
You're not gonna get X-Men like, powers, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So still praying for that one though. Still praying for that one. I'm like, hey, listen, you didn't make me straight, so you better give me the other one. I'm just fine. But the whole vibe is like, you know what? Like, I think I'm a huge believer that like life is meant to be like life is this wild bull and it's meant to be like broken, like it's meant to be tamed, like wrestle it to the ground, live life to the fullest, have experiences, and in the meantime, let the divine support you and these good ventures you're going after. And so I feel most connected to the divine when I'm in nature. You know what I mean? I feel the most connected to the divine when I am with people I love and we're like connecting. It's like stuff like that. And it's like, no, I don't pray the same way. And every now and then I will go to church and I'm like, it's fun to go back and like, you know, have those moments or go to like, you know, like Chris Sunday service where the kids are singing or primary. Like I just, that stuff is beautiful. It's like a part of my like culture. Like I may not believe a lot of the concepts, but like culturally, I'm like culturally Mormon. Like I love me some like potato casserole and Sunday night activities, you know, Monday night fun with the family. Like that stuff is like still important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Stacy, I've really enjoyed having you on here. Is there anything else that you want to say that you would love to say to people, anybody that may be listening to this? That
I think like one of my, well, I'm not going to say motto because I feel like I've been saying that the whole time, but like you, regardless of who you are or where you're from, you have the right to find what works for you. And I know that can be really scary. And guess what? It doesn't have to be permanent. Like I remember telling myself, I was like, what if I come out and start dating guys and I don't like it? Well, then I can go back. You know what I mean? Like, I can just like, it's not permanent. Like take the stakes off. Whatever that means for you, live it fully, boldly, be proud of what you're doing. And if you're not, analyze it. Like, I just think you, You have every right to do what works for you. And sometimes that does get complex with like family or loved ones when people don't understand. But listen, your confidence in yourself should not come from what other people think of you. And your confidence in yourself should come from like what you think of you. And if you think you're trash, that's a sign that that's something we could work on. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I'm just rambling now. I just think you're wonderful people. You're doing your best. And I think that counts for so much.
Yeah. I love that. And I want to thank you for the time that you've spent here sharing your thoughts with us. I really hope it can help out. If anybody listening to this wants to reach out and be on the show as well. Actually, I'm trying to get a guy on here who is he is gay, but he studies theology, and he wants to I want to see how he does it being gay in the church. So there's going to be the other perspective too of like, well, how does somebody deal with it by sticking with the church, you know?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And like, I want to say, if anyone wants to reach out, like reach out to me on Instagram. Like I'm Stacey Harkey on Instagram. Like reach out to me, ask me a question. Sometimes it takes me a little bit, but like, I'm here to like, to share my experiences and my resources. Like, so just like take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you responding to my DM. So.
Oh, dude, thanks for reaching out. I'm glad we could. This is the first time I've honestly talked in this kind of depth about like where I am with like, you know, the LDS faith or how would I feel about things. And so it's kind of we got a little exclusive scoop on this.
All right. Awesome. Well, I'll be sending the podcast to you here shortly. But thanks a lot, Stacey. I hope you have a great day and a fabulous week.
Dude, it's been real. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye.
Ciao.